morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, formerly Star of the Beast Network. Liberty Talk Radio is your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you on Thursday, December 14, 2006. It's about 6:32 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the United States, and it's being sponsored by Ranch Acres Audiology in Tulsa. Call 918-749-7711 for all your hearing needs. Ranch Acres Audiology, where hearing is fashionable. We also dedicate our broadcast to the Peace House Tulsa, a nonprofit organization promoting justice through education and nonviolent action. Go to peacehousetulsa.org and please support their efforts. You may reach us during our broadcast via Skype, internet phone. Just dial Star of the Beast, one word, Star of the Beast, and it will ring directly into our studio. Or you may call our telephone at 918-447-1776, and a staff member will take your question. We will attempt to answer it while on the air. Otherwise, email us at comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'll respond to your questions during our next broadcast. The station is your antidote to popular talk radio, regardless of its political affiliation, where you are expected to do more than listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, Rome, Paris, Stalingrad, or Buenos Aires. Folks, we must take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. It's time to shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good morning, everyone. This morning's program, we will continue on our discussion regarding the progressive movement here in America and collectivism and their concept of collectivism. We should be very suspicious of political compassion. And I asked a question on my blog, do compassionate conservatives care more than progressives, but less than liberal Democrats? Is this manipulation or misguided political rhetoric? Obviously, I didn't leave much room there, did I? The answer really is individualism, and this is what we are losing in the United States. I would like to read, if I could find it, a passage by Dwight D. Eisenhower, a very powerful passage. He said, here in America, we are descended in blood and in spirit from revolutionists and rebels. Now, think about that. You know, we are descendants of revolutionaries and rebels. The Europeans used to call us, you know, the crazy Americans. He goes on to say, men and women who dare to dissent from accepted doctrine, this is who we are. We're extremely disobedient people. If a politician says one thing, we don't care. We say that we don't believe him. We are dissidents in action. We are truly revolutionaries in thought. This is where we came from. We didn't come from our loyalty to a monarchy. But listen, loyalty to a monarchy versus revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. And basically what I say in my introduction is what Dwight D. Eisenhower is saying here. But where we evolved to? We've evolved to loyalty to monarchy. And we support it with screaming words. He goes on to say, as their heirs, we may never confuse honest dissent with disloyal subversion. Dwight D. Eisenhower, 1890 to 1969, 34th U.S. President, World War II General. And those are very powerful words, and we shouldn't just dismiss them as a thought. They should go in our heads, and they should ring around and ring around until we truly understand what that means. And what that means is every time the legislators meet and they enact something, we become dissidents. We become revolutionaries. We rebel. Because every time they legislate part of our liberty out from us and away from the Constitution. Every time. There is an article in the Constitution which mandates that the legislators meet at least once a year, the second week in December. The fear was that they would never convene because they really had, from the federal level, no real responsibilities. And the executive branch, being the president, had even less. In the early part of our country, the president would leave the White House and sit on the front lawn and enjoy the day. You say, well, who was taking care of the country? The people were. And everything was done on a very, very local basis. Do you know we didn't even have government schools? I think the year is either 1925 or 1935. They were all private. They were all individual schools. And this, I'm saying, up until the secondary education, up until through high school. And ever since then, since the government has taken over the schools, they've gone to pot. My problem with the United States, the attitude of the people of the United States, is that technically, most people are clinically insane. Now, before you hang up on me or you leave the station, let me explain. Insanity is defined as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And what do? We invest more and more into our legislators and expect a different result. What do you hear during every election campaign? It's time for a change. It's time for a change. What happens? More of the same. We fall for that every 2 years, basically. That's when they rotate Congress in the office. And yet, it never dawns on us that the problem is not the people. We blame ourselves for the problem. Look at these people, they're doing that. Look at these people, they're doing that. You know, look at this group is doing that. This company is doing that. We blame ourselves. We go to the Congress, and then we say, do something about this. And then when they do something about it, it makes things worse. And we do that over and over and over again. Drives me nuts. I mean, when are we going to start thinking about that? that there is a inherent problem in the way we think. We no longer are the crazy Americans. We are now very elite people, very isolated, very selfish, thinking that the rest of the world is exactly like us, that everybody else in the world gets up in the morning, goes to their convenience store for a cup of coffee, and then goes to their desk job in their SUV. We think everybody, we don't understand. We don't have an inkling that of the 6.5 billion people on Earth, 1 billion never get to drink an ounce of water. Let me say it again. 1 billion never even get to drink an ounce of water. And we have reverse osmosis machines and purified water and bottled water, which we pay for at the cost higher than a gallon of gasoline. We are such damned elitists, it is that gets me sick. Now, another billion get access to water, but it's contaminated. So all of a sudden, we have almost one-third of the world's population not having access to clean water. 2 billion people. To put that in perspective, what do we have? 300 million people here in the United States. That's seven times the population of the total population of the United States never even gets a glass of water. And we want to be examples for the rest of the world. How could we do that? That's like a multi-billionaire living or royalty, you know, wanting me to emulate them. I'm not royalty. I don't live in a castle. I don't have guards. How could I do that? I don't ride around in a carriage, you know, or with a limousine or with a chauffeur. I ride around in a Vespa motor scooter, you know. You see, my problem, what I'm trying to get across, is that our mind is not working properly. We are thinking incorrectly. And because we think incorrectly, we will lose our liberty. This has everything to do with individualism and our liberty. It has nothing to do with collectivism, progressivism, compassionate conservatism, you know, liberalism, and all that garbage. Those are garbage political words, and they are all dangerous. Most of my friends are progressives, most of them, right across the board. I have very few more libertarians, you know. No, you don't know. That's why I just told you. What a stupid thing to say. They are progressives. They argue all the time. Joe, you know, technically you're right, but that's not the way the real world is. I said, I know that. That's the problem. And they can't see through that. What they see is very much, I got a bunch of emails here, and this is a beautiful segue into it. Now, remember, the progressives are supposed to be like the conservative liberals, you know, who are compassionate. They are they're the kissing cousins to the compassionate conservatives, you know, so to speak. And, you know, so they're good. They consider themselves good people. You know, Walmart is a bad company. They'll say, oh yeah, well, what about Walmart? Look what Walmart does. And in other countries, do you know Walmart has to pay their employees a certain amount of money? The government forces them to. Oh, wage control. Well, no, not really. They're just being fair. You know, this term fair wants to make me puke. There ain't no fair anywhere. There's individual initiative. You say fair. You know, I have a beautiful ad I saw the other day. I almost forgot about this. There are two people walk into a building, like a downtown building, and they get on the escalator. And excuse me, I'm going to take a sip of coffee. I should be taking it intravenously this time in the morning. And they get on an escalator, and it looks like a big, big lobby with big escalators, very typical, you know, modern building. And they're going up the escalator. Halfway up, there's a man and a woman on it. Halfway up, the elevator stops. And they're standing there. And they're standing there. And they're standing there. And then they don't say anything. And after a while, the man says, yells out, "Help! The escalator's not going. Is there anyone here?" And of course, you know, the way they have it set up, there's no one else in the lobby. And he's yelling for help. "There's no one here. Help!" You know, and the woman starts screaming for help. And it ends by him saying something like, "Well, I guess we're stuck here." And it dies off. That's the United States today. Now, I'm going to mention a tragedy, and I will probably lose 99% of my listeners when I say this. Katrina. What did people do during Katrina? They stood on that escalator, and they waited for the government to help. And do you know, it's well over a year later, they are still standing on that elevator, waiting for the government to help. Where are all the compassionate conservatives? Where are all the progressives? And where are all the collectivists who make up a majority of our government and our population? How could that possibly happen after billions and billions and billions of dollars have been spent? Help me. I'm stuck on the escalator. I guess we're stuck, and I'll have to wait here. That's who we have become. I hope that bothers you, because it sure well bothers me. The question that my progressive friends, and I like them a lot. And by the way, let me tell you something. My progressive friends are a lot smarter than I am. They are better read, better educated, and have a lot more social grace than I do. I mean, if I had to force rank myself as a person against my progressive friends, I could not compete. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not just saying that. We have many conversations about things other than politics. These people, men and women, are sharp cookies. And that's what really bothers me. The question that they would have asked me is, what would I have done for the victims of Katrina? I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't answer that question after the fact, but let's go before the fact. Well before Katrina, I mean well before, and maybe 30, 40, 50, 60 years before, the people in New Orleans would have been told, you live in a bowl. If you look up, you will see water, and there is water all around you. There is no practical way for us, for anyone, even the federal government, with its masses of federal funding help, to guarantee that this water is not going to spill over, flood the city, drown, and possibly kill most of its inhabitants. There's no guarantee. So you better give some thought as to what you're doing. What you may want to do is maybe put your house on stilts or move. Or if there is warning of a hurricane, get out of town. Because if you don't, you may die. That's what I've done. Now, everyone would have had to thought for themselves. And I firmly believe there would be absolutely none of the problems we have today at none of the cost had people gotten up and said, Help, there is nobody here. I guess I have to wait, or I have to get out. Let me give you the quintessential antithesis of collectivism. Driving a car. We are very selfish. We become libertarians when we drive cars. We drive whatever car we can afford. We can have we have a fuel shortage in a way. I mean, fuel is something we don't want to waste too much of today. And yet, if we go to a showroom and we like that shiny new SUV that gets 12 miles to the gallon, that's what we buy. That's a libertarian principle. And we will do that even if we are Democrats, liberals, compassionate conservatives, collectivists. We'll do that. Most of the cars on the road today are SUVs. So we drive around and then we obey all the laws. Not only do we obey the laws, but we are very careful. We're very selfish. We want to make sure no one dents or scratches or hits this SUV, this pretty car of mine. And we become true individuals when we drive. Could you imagine us driving with the thought that I can do whatever I want, somebody else will fix it? In 30 days, there wouldn't be one car on the road. Think about that next time you're driving. Drive like a progressive instead of a libertarian and see what happens to your car. You might not even live to know the difference. Are you selfish at that point of time? Absolutely. Are you a collectivist? Absolutely not. You are an individual looking out for yourself. And by looking out for yourself, you look out for the greater good. If you did not, you'd kill someone. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is not for the greater good. I have an email here. It's from Jim, not from my progressive friend Jim. He says, Joe, I don't know if I agree with you. You keep referring to the Constitution, which was written over 200 years ago. It stands to reason that it should be modified to fit the times. How could we run a country on a document which was written when the telephone, the automobile, the airplane, the computer, etc., were not invented yet? It doesn't make any sense. Jim. Sounds good, Jim. Thank you very much for your email. But that's the argument I get all the time. And the argument sounds logical. Absolutely correct. Now, here's the difference. If the Constitution had written in it, and excuse me, let me get a little sip of water here, and let me pause. This is station identification. You are now listening to Liberty Talk Radio. It's Thursday, December 14th, and we are talking this morning about progressives, collectivism, versus individualism or libertarianism. Let's assume for a second that the Constitution had written in it that the Congress had to notify the President via telegraph of their decision, of their vote. It would be more than appropriate to modify it to include telegraph, telephone, and maybe now email or fax or whatever. Now that would be appropriate. But the principles of the Constitution don't change. You want a good example? Sports. Why are sports so attractive to people? I know people say, well, because I'm a diehard St. Louis fan, or, you know, Kansas City and, you know, Oakland. I'm an Oakland Raiders fan. Otis Sistrunk from the University of Mars. Still my favorite team, you know. What if every time we watched a football game, the rules changed a little bit because we wanted to be compassionate about some of the players? How often would you watch a football game? Yeah, try never. You see, the rules of the game stay the same. The principles behind the game stay the same. There's a line of demarcation. You have to go through that line of demarcation, and you can only have 11 people on the field, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And those things, and those all those rules and principles remain the same, and they remain the same over the years. Now, on occasion, there's a change. For example, at one time, many, many years ago, the receiver of a kick, the kickoff, was fair game. And they found out that being fair game, the person, a lot of people got injured unnecessarily because they couldn't catch the ball and protect themselves at the same time. You know, so they said, all right, you can't hit the guy when the guy first hits the ball. Understandable. But yes, the principles of the game are the same. And by protecting the receiver in that case, it's like saying, yes, you can wear equipment, which was a change, right, to protect yourself when you get hit. That was a change. But the rules didn't change. You see, the rules of the Constitution or the principles of the Constitution have never changed. And they can't change. Could you imagine every time, every 10 years or 20 years, we said, well, that doesn't apply anymore, we'll do this. But why have a Constitution? Our Constitution is an absolute evergreen document. Is it absolutely perfect? No. But it's the best in the world. I mean, people marvel at it today. Other countries try to emulate it if they don't have a revolution first. So the Constitution doesn't have to change, because it doesn't really make any difference if we advise the Congress advises the President via email or fax or yells across the room. But we can't go and say, well, you know, the President can do this and they don't have to tell anybody, because those powers may not be vested in the presidency. And if it's not vested in the president can't do it. You can't say, well, yes, he can, because times have changed. What difference does it make? What difference does it make if we're fighting a war? The war that we fought 200 years ago is no different than the war we are fighting today. And spare me terrorism. I am getting convinced that terrorism does exist, and we have to be diligent, but it's a trump card. We use that to justify everything and anything we want to do. And they say, look how successful we've been. We haven't had a terrorist attack in, you know, since 5 years. I don't think we would have had a terrorist attack anyway. Nothing major, at least. So you cannot change the Constitution. You cannot change principle. If the Constitution does not permit the president to declare war, the president can't declare war. And that's the way we want it. But we have been sold a bill of goods that says, well, you know, we need a strong central power. And, you know, when you get bad guys out there, remember, bad guys from the point of view, from an elitist point of view, from elitists living in an empire, we're telling the rest of the world that they're bad. That we should be able to do this. And that's wrong. So, no, it does make perfect sense that we leave the Constitution as it is. Now, the Constitution has been amended. And you can amend the Constitution. And that's it. But you cannot reinterpret it to change the times, to fit the times, because the times don't change. Remember your football game, if your rules kept on changing, you probably wouldn't watch it anymore. You can't say, well, that guy's a little bigger than the other guy. You should give guy another 5 yards. Well, that's the way we think today. Okay. Here we got another email here somewhere. In fact, we have a bunch of emails. Here we go. It says here, this is from Chuck. He says, I think you live in a fantasy world. You want people to be responsible, yet you don't want to help others. Is that being responsible? I think your attitude needs adjustment. I guess so. I'll listen in some... I said sometime next week, I guess he meant, you know, to hear what you have to say. I don't know why we confuse having a central government taking my money and giving it to other people as being responsible. Why can't I give it? You know, and I'll give the example. People say we should support Israel. I said, if that's the way you feel, I agree. Take it, sit down, write a check to Israel. but don't take my money and send it to Israel. I don't want to send them any money. No, I don't think they're democracy in the Middle East. I think they're a pain in the neck in the Middle East. I think they're a cause of too many problems. I have nothing against the Jewish people. I think the Jewish state was a stupid idea. I'm probably a majority of one saying that. So don't take my money and send it to Israel so they can fight the Arabs who we do business with, and they supply us with oil. What does Israel supply us with? Nothing. So it's a matter, could you imagine how much more we can give to others if the government didn't take it first? This has absolutely nothing to do with collectivism. What collectivism says, if you make too much money, we are going to punish you. And we're going to punish you by taking your money away and give it to those people who didn't make as much money. So next year I go, I'm never going to make that much money again. Screw that stuff. I worked really hard, and all I got, I was put in a higher tax bracket, and I had it paid through the nose. Never happened again. Is that freedom? Is that what we want the country to be? That you can make a little money, but not too much, as determined by the monarchy in Washington, D.C.? If that's the way we really want the United States to run, I'll continue to be in disagreement, and I will continue this radio program till the day I die. We need an adjustment. We need to start rethinking. And it's not that the Republicans are bad and the Democrats are not so bad and the progressives are good. The progressives are the worst because they are truly the wolf in sheep's clothing. They walk around like the nice guys, and it's like putting the frog in lukewarm water. The frog says, it's not too bad. It's not too hot. And you turn off the flame a little bit. It goes, it's a little warm in here. And after a while, the frog keeps on getting adjusted to the hot water. Eventually, the frog fries. Progressives do exactly that. They continually tweak and tweak and tweak and tweak, and we will get to a point where we have absolutely no freedom, and we will be told that it is for our own good. That if it wasn't for the strong central government watching everything we do, we could not exist. We would be at peril. And our Constitution makes provision for the people to bear arms and form a militia. That means a local militia. Not to protect itself. Not to protect itself against foreign invasion. Has nothing to do with it. It had to do to protect itself against a strong, burdensome, abusive central government. Now, I'm not going to join a militia. I'm not going to buy some guns and walk in the street, you know, and parade with an AK-47, but I will broadcast that. And I will say it over and over and over again. And if I can get one person out there to finally say, I think he's making a point. I think maybe we should start rethinking. I think maybe instead of watching the garbage, the absolute garbage on TV, the absolute garbage talk shows with garbage statements that inflame emotions and bring us further into war, bring us further into hating people, dividing us, dividing the world, constantly saying that, saying how bad these people are and how good we are, we've got to do something about it. Damn those people. Damn them all. If I can get one person to say there may be a different way, maybe Joe has a point, I will broadcast this until the day I die and say that it was well worth it. I am a revolutionary in thought, and I am a dissident in action. And I want everyone else to consider doing the same. We have a bunch of other emails. Our time is up, however. And I also need to go. So this is the conclusion of this broadcast. Let me just... We have a gentleman coming to interview on Sunday evening. I have not received a confirmation of that. if I do not, if I find out today, if I'm not interviewing him on Sunday evening nor anyone else, I will continue this conversation on Monday morning. I do not do monologues on in the evening. It's too too tiring. Sunday night's not a way to do it. But it is interesting to have people come in who I interview. That I can do on a Sunday evening. All right. So it'll be either one, and I will let you know if I do not have the guest. I will come on a Sunday evening at 8:30 p.m. Central Time, and either introduce a guest or tell you that the broadcast is going to be live on Monday morning, so you'll know. And I'll also publish that on my blog, and hopefully I'll be able to do that today. All right? And here's our theme song, And I Wonder. I'd like to thank everyone for listening in. This is the end of this morning's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And please direct your comments and questions to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments, that's plural, @libertytalkradio.com. Don't hate me for what I say, folks. Just think. And until next time, stay well and stay tuned.